probably was a very good idea at the time. Right in the centre of the town and extending right back to right. the south boundary. Might be argued it takes up too much rateable land, I don't know.
I've never heard that argument. I've always only heard praise about it. So where did you start getting your variety of plants? What was there when you arrived?
There was quite a reasonable collection of begonias. And Mr. Parker grew begonias. He had begonia houses, display houses. And he was a member of the park committee. And he was willing to help a little bit there. But the variety of plant material was limited. And I thought, well, if we're going to attract the people back to the park, we need to be able to show them something different every time they come in. And I started off working on the one, the good old standby is the fuchsia. And it can be treated as almost as a climber, or as a standard, or a half standard, or just as a bush plant. It can be chopped back, and you can do all sorts of things with it.
And easy to propagate.
And yes, you can bring it into flower practically any time of the year you want to, with the propagating fresh batches of cuttings. And I had an old friend in Christchurch. Was the name of Smith. He was quite an athlete. He was a New Zealand athletic high jumper, I think, if I remember rightly. But he had a good collection on the hills near Sumner, Christchurch. And I'd gone up there amongst other things to learn just a little bit more about my chosen career, and I was a native planter too. She used up there who had a big collection of native plants. I used to visit him and the fuchsia man and the rock garden man, the different ones, different weekends, and so I occupied all my time gathering as much information as I could. But anyway, we tried to keep it down to no more than 100 varieties. We didn't get them all at once, but they just gradually grow up, and the popular ones, the most popular ones, you keep going. And the only agreement we had was that we would not put them on show for at least 2 years to give him a chance to get his sales. So I had the privilege of getting in first with all the new ones, the option of buying all the new ones. And they weren't in his catalogue at the time that I got them. I just selected them off the bench when I was down in Christchurch, because at that time I had family down there and we used to go. I used to always go out and see my old friends. And the orchids, Mr. Parker was interested in the orchids, but in my report I'd worked on other species of orchids that would stand the cool conditions, and I felt that they could become quite popular, and they are now very popular throughout New Zealand. And Mr. Fuller has his own collection of those. But with the orchid collection, and when it comes to people came to offer us collections from all over New Zealand, I felt that before we could accept the responsibility, that we had to have an orchid specialist. And so by that time, the reserves department had taken a lot more of my time. I developed the reserves department, and I felt that Mr. Fuller could take over the curatorship. in order to attract a suitable, to provide a suitable salary to attract him to come back. But he's such a dedicated man that he never, I thought I would have lost all those qualified men once they completed their diplomas.
So he trained here under you, did he?
Well, no, he trained at Duncan and Davies, and he went to England to Sanders Orchid Nurseries. From there he got an entry to Kew, and he trained at Kew. And he went to Sweden and trained on hydroponics, and then he went down to Malta and worked with out-of-season chrysanthemums. By shortening the day length, you can induce a chrysanthemum to come into flower. They're short day length flowering plants. So, but he carried out the first experiment in New Zealand when he came to me, and we were able to flower chrysanthemums in February for a flower show, which was not quite unusual here in New Zealand. They require that shorter day length. So you have to cover them and keep them in the darkness for so many hours. But anyway, when he came back to New Zealand, it was just coincidence that he came back to New Plymouth. And we did get in touch with him and managed to persuade him to come to the park. And he's been one of a loyal team that has kept the park going and helped to build up the collections at Lion Mine. Mr. Jellyman and Mr. McDowell had qualifications from England, and like George Fuller had been to Kew. But then when they came here, they carried on and gained the New Zealand National Diploma in Horticulture. And Mr. Jellyman had been trained at Duncan and Davies. He carried on and he had the cocaine gold medal.
The which medal?
The cocaine gold medal for the highest award in the diploma examination. And I missed it because they raised the year before I qualified, there was quite an upheaval because somebody gained the award that other people considered shouldn't, and it's one of those petty things that people are objecting about. But anyway, they upped the requirement to a very high percentage to gain a chance for a recommendation for the medal. And I was involved in the war at the time. I was in the army. I was trying to write a thesis, and I was trying to get home going, and children were just babies. And so I didn't make much of a fist of it, I don't think.
You seem to have gathered quite an impressive number of supporters supporters and employees. So as I said to you earlier, I met up with Alan Jellyman this morning, and likewise George Mason, and they all spoke very, very highly of you, and George too, in regards to your contributions to the park and to reserves in general. And it seems that you managed to develop a really special team.
Well, I try to do that wherever I've been, I suppose, but after the war, you can realise the high amount of younger and active and more highly qualified students. Some of them just went to the war and didn't come back, and there was a shortage everywhere. And as far as the top jobs were concerned, the old timers carried on until they were 80, quite a few of them, just keeping the place going and supervising. So I had to set out right from scratch and either train or acquire my create a reputation and you get a demand for people who want to come and train with you. And we really, Christchurch had drawn people who previously would have gone to Dunedin for their training. Dunedin produced quite a number of people who took charge of parks right up to as far as Auckland anyway. And then Christchurch sort of took on the mantle of training students and apprentices. And then for a short time I did it here. I don't know whether they even have apprentices now, but to start with, I couldn't put on. I had to make a special, because I was the only one with any qualifications. They had to make a special case for the first apprentice that I put on, and once he got his qualifications, I think I might have got somebody in from Ian McDowell, might have come in from overseas. Then Alan Jellyman came in from Duncan the Davies Nursery. And George came in later for the orchid, to take care of the orchid collection.
So when George came out, you had basically split, if I got it right, you basically split into two groups, and you were looking after the reserves in New Plymouth City Council, or City, and George was looking after Pukekura Park. Is that, have I got that right? I mean, you were actually over top of George too. George was there to supervise the and maintain Pukekura Park as under you, but you actually were now looking more at. Have I got that right?
Well, I became more and more involved in the reserves, but no, my title was superintendent of parks and curator of Pukekura Park, and actually that was never changed. But George came in as a curator, which literally means the plant growing manager of a park, the man who's actually doing the management of the plants. That's the correct title for a curator. But he did tree surgery and as well as looking after the orchids and the glass houses, and he proved to be one of the better hands on tree surgery, but his specialty was the busy orchids, and we had sort of got the park sort of running again by the time he came on the scene, and he was able.
That was in the late 50s.
Hmm?
That was in the late 50s, was it?
I can't remember just when he came. Oh, yes, it would be, I would think.
So you would spend your time, a lot of your time looking at.
In 57, Tom Wagstaff was my deputy in 57 when I went to England. I'd extended leave to study in England. And Tom Wagstaff was the deputy then. And he looked after him while I was away. And he went to into business in town here, and then the later was the professional salesman.
Right.
Yeah. He died. My house in Franklin Park must have been about the last one he sold. I gave him a plant. Oh, he wanted this on tape. I almost felt as if I might have been responsible for his death, although he'd had a heart attack before. And we were long, long time friends, and he looked after my wife and children when I was away in England. And looked after the park, and the foreman and the reserves looked after the reserves part of it while I was away. And then later, I think Ian McDowell came in as landscape planner, and he did work mainly for the reserves. We all worked from Pukekura Park right up until my retirement. And Alan came in as deputy superintendent. So he had the oversight. In my absence, he was the man in charge of the lot. The forestry, airports, and everything else.
So, what are the reserves? You say we've talked about Pukekura Park, but what other reserves are there that you were responsible for?
I've always been fond of Lake Wanganui.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Yes, well, it was between the two engineers, one wanting the water for power generation and the other one wanting it for the water supply for the city. They seemed to think it would be safer to have somebody else look